So this topic of thriving in God's kingdom, I just want to give a little bit of a framework, a little bit of a bit of theological input, if you like, as to why we think this is important. My iPad keeps going off. So I want to read to you from Mark 12, verses 28 to 31. Mark 12, 28 to 31 says this. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. This is Jesus debating in the synagogue. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." These verses are key to what we're thinking about today. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love each other. Jesus says these are the two greatest commandments. And if you notice, he puts them both together. He doesn't say one's more important than the other. He puts them both together. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and love one another. We can't give our all to God, love him completely, and not love each other. That doesn't look like what Jesus is thinking about here. The two go together. They can't be separated. And as we love each other well, we enable each other to love God well. See, they interrelate. They inform each other. They help each other to happen. Loving God, loving each other. John 13, Jesus says this, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." But what does it look like to do that? What do you think it looks like to love one another, to love your neighbor as yourself? What do you think Jesus was asking us to do in that situation? What does that look like? There are many answers to that question, and we're not going to answer all of it today. We could look through the Bible, and there's lots of examples of what Jesus says it looks like for us to love one another, because he modeled it to us. He showed us how he loved people and how he loved us. But I want to highlight one story where I think Jesus showed us what it looks like to love one another. And that's the woman who is caught in adultery in John 8, verses 1 to 11. Let me read this story to you. John 8, 1 to 11. Jesus returned to the Mount of Olives, but early the next morning he was back again at the temple. A crowd soon gathered, and he sat down and taught them. As he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. "Teacher," they said to Jesus, "this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say?" They were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him, but Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer, so he stood up again and said, "All right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone." Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. When the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. "Where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you?" "No, Lord," she said. And Jesus said, "Neither do I. Go and sin no more." Now, there's lots we could bring out of that passage, and I'm not going to do justice to the passage today, but I want to just highlight a couple of things. We don't know the background of this woman. We don't know why she ended up with the lifestyle that she had, whether it's through her own choices or because of the choices of others, or maybe both. Whatever the reasons why she found herself in the situation she did, she was vulnerable already. She was vulnerable in a society where women weren't treated as equals amongst men. So she was vulnerable already. She was vulnerable in a society that was already stacked against her. And now she was more vulnerable because of her experiences and people were trying to point the finger at her. So what did Jesus do in that situation? Firstly, he created a safe environment. He protected her. He challenged those who had power over her and who wanted to use that power to hurt her. Jesus does that. He looks for the person who is marginalized. He looks for the person who has no power, who is vulnerable, and he steps in and he stands up for them. You read that throughout the Bible. So if Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, maybe he's asking us to love people in that way too, to stand up for those who are vulnerable and those who are marginalized. He welcomed her by protecting her. So before anything else, when we talk about thriving in God's kingdom, it is about protecting people who are vulnerable, whatever the reason those people are vulnerable, whether it's something that they have done to themselves, whether it's something that someone has done to them, it doesn't matter. If someone is vulnerable, we are about protecting people. That's the first thing. And then in this place, as he challenged those who wanted to take advantage of her vulnerability, the safe space he created enabled the possibility of transformation. Do you see that as well? Do you see where he created that safe space for the woman and stopped what the people in power wanted to do to her? He was then able to say to her, I don't condemn you, but go and sin no more. He enabled the possibility of transformation by encounter with him. That's the other thing that thriving in God's kingdom looks like. It is a space where we all, who are at some point in our lives, find ourselves maybe vulnerable, where we all have a space to encounter God and enable him and allow him to be able to bring transformation. So as a church, these are our goals. God says, love each other like he loved others. That's what we're going to do as well. So our goals as a church is we seek to protect all people, and especially the most vulnerable, from being taken advantage of by others. And regardless of what I'm going to say next, the next point, that is something we will do. So even if people don't encounter God, even if they walk out of this building and never find Jesus and never become a disciple of Jesus, we are about an organization that is about protecting the most vulnerable. Then, in doing that, we hope to create an environment in which people are free and able to encounter God. We are a church that believes that God changes people's lives. Most people, I would imagine, in this room would have a story to tell. If I invited you up to say, how has God changed your life? You would be able to say something. What does God mean to you? We believe that God transforms and changes people's lives. For him to be able to do that, people need to feel safe in this environment. I've often used this illustration before, but if you think about a playground where children play, if you've got young children now, you probably take your children to a playground. If you've ever been responsible for young children, I bet you've taken them to a playground. It's much more fun than trying to keep them entertained in your own home. You like to take them out. So weather that we've been having is always very helpful to parents, I think. So you take them to a playground and you expect that playground to be looked after well. You don't expect there to be broken bottles in the playground. You don't expect there to be... Often playgrounds now, they have a fence around them, don't they, with a gate that makes sure that you know that your child can't run away and escape from the playground. You also expect the swings to be kept in good nick. You expect there to be no sharp bits on the slides. You expect the environment in which your children are going to play, you expect it to be a safe environment so that they can play, so that they can do what you've taken them there to do. The environment enables the possibility of being able to play. That's exactly what we're trying to do as a church. We want to create the environment which creates the possibility of us being able to be together safely and are able to encounter God. And play, maybe. But being able to encounter God. Sometimes we talk about being a follower of Jesus as going on a journey.
Hello, hello. Can you hear me? Is that coming through? I feel like I should sing if I'm standing here. I won't. So we talk about it going on a journey. And this is the other image that I wanted us to have in our minds. If we could just change the onto the next slide, please. No, before that, the picture of a path, that's it. Great. So imagine that we are trying to create a safe path for people to be able to follow Jesus. Our job as a church is to make sure that that path is clear of obstacles. As we journey together, we journey together. Thanks, Brett. Is that okay? Great, good. We journey together. We go together and we go with Jesus. These are our church values. We go together and we go with Jesus. Imagine, if you want another visual image, picture the disciples walking with Jesus, following him, going places. As a church, we want to create a pathway that is clear. Now, sadly, sometimes the very place where a church where you want this to be able to be true, sometimes we are guilty of digging up holes in the path and causing people to trip up. And if you have ever experienced that in a church, I'm very sorry that that has been your experience. That is not what churches should be about. We should be about making the path clear, creating the space for us all to be able to walk with him, walk with Jesus to the place where he wants to lead us. And we are all people who sometimes find ourselves vulnerable, and we all need to help each other to walk on that path well. We don't make encounter with God happen, but we do create the space in which there is the possibility of encounter. We don't make encounter with God happen, but we do create the space within which the possibility of encounter of God can happen. And sadly, as I say, sometimes the church can be a place where there is greater likelihood of tripping up than elsewhere. It's not God who does this. It's people. And that's why it's so important that we think really carefully about the environment which we create to help us to be people who feel safe to walk together and to encounter Jesus. We should strive to create a culture that doesn't clutter the pathway or dig holes. God wants to bring challenge to our lives. He is good, and he is kind, and he is just. And with these characteristics, this will often mean challenges for those of us who are walking on the journey. The woman was not left by Jesus. He said, no one's here to condemn you. Go and sin no more. He brought challenge to her, but he did so from a place of creating safety first. If we are going to be people who are changed by God, we will sometimes need to be vulnerable with each other. I know some of the times when I've been moved by God, where God's challenged my life the most, where I've stepped into the things that I think God's leading me to, is where I've had friends that I know I can trust who are for me, people I'm journeying with, who I know love me and will not abuse the vulnerability that I am showing to them, where I share some of the stuff that I'm struggling with or some of the stuff that God is helping me with. We all need to have that place. God gives us each other to help each other to go with him into those places that he's leading us to. We have to have a culture where we aren't afraid to open up to each other and open up to God, because it's in that place that you and I are transformed. Paul talked about this in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He said, but he's talking about Jesus speaking to him. And Paul says this: my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we want to create an environment where being vulnerable is not taken advantage of, and where we can boast about our weaknesses, where everyone is able to freely hear about God and choose to follow him and experience his transformation. Okay. So how do we do that here? And with this, I'll finish, and then I'm going to hand over to Tim, who's going to help us just to think through a little bit more about this. So the heart of thriving for us as a church is loving others as we love God, learning to love God well,
learning to love others as we love God. And we need to have good systems in place to create this environment where this can happen. So just so you are clear practically of what we do, this church is I'm the senior leader at the church. There's a team of us who lead, we're part of the Philadelphia staff. We have a board. Some of you have been in churches, you'll know some church, types of churches have PCCs, some have church councils. We have a board of trustees, of which I'm very, very thankful for. And this board of trustees meets 6 times a year, roughly, and we discuss all sorts of things. But every time we meet, we will talk about how are we helping the church to be a safe place for people to be able to come and learn about God and do that with each other. At every meeting, we will do that. Then there is a safeguarding subgroup, which meets, I'm not sure how many times it meets. Is it once every term? I'm looking for Sandy, who chairs that for us. How often do we meet, Sandy, for the safeguarding subgroup?
Once a term,
thank you. So that safeguarding subgroup is made up of people across the church who have expertise or have a particular heart for this, that what I'm talking about this morning, and they meet once a term, and they, in the best possible way, hold everyone to account in terms of what we've said we're going to do. And also help us to think through what would be good practice here to create this environment. And then we have the team. Every week we meet on a Tuesday morning as a team, and amongst all the other things that we talk about, we always make sure we say, how are we doing with this? How are we doing with creating this culture where people can encounter God, where we can walk together in a place of safety? And then this is the as important one. There's you and me. We all are responsible for creating this culture within our church. As we learn to love God and as we learn to love each other, it is not just, oh great, we've got the trustees, we've got the safeguarding subgroup, we've got the Philadelphia team. It's, oh great, we've got these people who I walk with together in this church family.